Let's open up our Bibles at 2 Corinthians and chapter 8. It's page 1163. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I wonder if someone could just switch those spotlights on for me, please, so I can see. Always helps. Thank you. Okay, 2 Corinthians and chapter 8. Now we're going to be coming to that in a few minutes. Let's pray together now. We have our Bibles open or ready. Heavenly Father, you are the Prince of Peace amidst adversity, and so many people in this room this morning can testify to that. It's really moving to sing it, Lord, and to know the truth of it. Our hearts are touched by the reality that when things seem impossible, you make it possible. And when everything seems to go wrong, yet you turn it to right. How good you are. Oh Lord, we try not to forget what we've done so far this morning, but now we turn our minds to your word and we think about your amazing generosity. Open our hearts, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, on these Sunday mornings, we are exploring seven important things in church life. They're important for us as individuals, but also especially as a church. And you'll find them all on this leaflet that we've got for this year. Flexible, generous, prayerful, Christ-like, biblical, family, and evangelistic. Each one of these seven things are as important to us as users are to Facebook. We will fail to function without them. And if we don't have these seven things in our life, then our church life will shrink and our own life will shrivel. These seven things are really important for us. And we've considered so far what it means to be Christ-like and biblical and prayerful and evangelistic, and what it means for us to be a family as a church, and how we are to try and be flexible. Well, today then, we're going to think about the importance of being earnest. No, and I just wanted to say that because I've been trying to say it all the whole series and I haven't said it. There you go. No, it's the importance of being generous. The importance of being generous. And we're not going to get this from one particular Bible passage, but rather we're going to go through a blizzard of verses, seeing God's word fall all around us and see that God is generous and so we should be generous. So let's start off then by thinking of that very thing. God is generous. God is generous. The Bible tells us so. James chapter 1, verse 5. If any one of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. God gives generously to all without finding fault. That is an amazing thing. Jesus once told the story of the prodigal son, and the son who went into a far country went far away from his father and did some terrible things and hurt himself, hurt others, and hurt his family. Eventually, he realized that life had gone so wrong for him, he needed to get up and return to the family, to go back to his father and say sorry and with repentance. But when the son went back to the father, the son had this speech prepared. And the father just ran out to meet him. And without one word of finding fault in his wayward son, said, "Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet." What generosity. I mean, the father had perhaps every right just to almost lay into his son verbally. "What have you done, you stupid boy?" But he doesn't. Without finding fault, he blesses his son so generously. And Jesus is saying that father is a picture of our Father in heaven. That is God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. And God is generous. He is generous in his blessings. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ. And through Christ, from his abundance, we have all received one gracious blessing after another. so much grace, so much blessing, so much love. You know, the Lord Jesus, when he spoke about the generosity of God and being like God, he spoke in particular about being like our Father in giving things indiscriminately, just being generous to people no matter who. So the verse says, without finding fault, giving generously to all. Listen to these words of Jesus. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his son, listen to this. He causes his son to rise on the evil and the good. And he sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. It's indiscriminate. It says he gives generously to all without finding fault. We sometimes say the sun always shines on the righteous, but we should also add the sun shines on the wicked and evil too. To all, no matter who they are, God gives his blessings, his creation blessings. We read in that psalm about how abundantly God blesses the earth and people. No matter who they are, God sends his creation blessings on believer and unbeliever, on Muslim, Hindu, atheist, on the rich and the poor. God sends his creation blessings on the gay and on the straight, on the addict and on the clean, on the adulterer and on the faithful, on the murderer and on the lifesaver, on Hitler and Mother Teresa, on Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin. He blesses all with his creation blessings. You might feel a little bit awkward with that. Well, listen to what the Apostle Paul said when he was in the midst of some pagans in Turkey. He was on a mission journey with his friend Barnabas. And as they were going out to a place called Lystra in Turkey, there weren't any believers there. There weren't any Christians there. And Paul and Barnabas go out to them, and they preach the gospel to them. And this is what, well, they were a bunch of idolaters, these people there in Turkey. And they wanted to sacrifice animals to Paul and Barnabas because they thought they were gods come down from heaven. And Paul and Barnabas were aghast, and they rushed into the crowd saying, friends, why are you doing this? We too are only human like you. We're bringing you good news, telling you to turn from these worthless things to the living God who made the heavens and the earth, the sea and everything in them. In the past, this God let all nations go their own way, yet he has not left himself without testimony. Listen, God has shown you, pagan idolaters, he has shown you kindness by giving you rain from heaven and crops in their seasons. He provides you with plenty of food and fills your hearts with joy. What a generous God. These people didn't believe in Jesus. These people didn't worship the true God. And yet Paul and Barnabas say to them, do you know where your joy comes from? It comes from God. Do you know where your food comes from? It comes from God. Do you know where the sunshine and the rain comes from for you to grow your crops? It comes from God. And that is a testimony, he says, to God's existence. Every ounce of joy that an unbeliever has is given by God. Everything we have comes from God, no matter who we are. God is generous to all without finding fault. God is generous with his creation gifts. God is generous with his grace. Paul's testimony in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 14 says that the grace of our Lord Jesus was poured out on me abundantly. So Paul didn't get a small measure of grace, but he received what he called elsewhere God's abundant provision of grace. Where sin abounded, grace superabounded. God is not a Scrooge with his grace. He is rich in grace. He doesn't keep it to himself. He provides it abundantly to us. God is generous with his mercy. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. God has a mercy account that is overflowing. God is generous with his love. If you should ask God to give a description of himself, a definition of who he is, to tell us a little bit about what his glory is, well, this is what he'd say. We know because Moses asked that. And God passed in front of Moses in Exodus 34, proclaiming, I am the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. This is our God, abounding in love. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God. He abounds in love and he lavishes it on people. So God has an unlimited account of grace, a rich account of mercy, a love that is unmeasured and that passes knowledge. This is our God. How generous he is. And that generosity is seen supremely in the way that he sent Jesus to be our Savior. He sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. And Paul says in Romans chapter 8, verse 32, that God did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all. There was no sparing. His love is unsparing. His grace and mercy are unsparing. And in our salvation, no expense was spared, no budget was set. He gave out of his rich mercy, grace, and love. Our God is really so generous. Generous in giving, generous in grace, generous in mercy, generous in love, generous in salvation. And you see, we're made in God's image to reflect him and to be like him. So how then can we be stingy and miserly and tight-fisted? If we're made in the image of God, God is generous, then Christians are generous too. We're redeemed, born again, made new. We're being recreated in the image of the generous God. So not only are we made firstly in the image of God, the generous God, but we've fallen away from that, but we're redeemed and renewed to be renewed in the image of God, to be generous. So those who follow Jesus will be open-handed and generous. And one of the clearest signs of salvation is when someone's pocket is touched. Take the case of Zacchaeus in the New Testament. Zacchaeus was a penny-pinching, robbing, cheating, selfish tax collector. His home was lined and furnished with the money that he'd taken from his fellow Jews. But one day, the Lord Jesus Christ came to the place where Zacchaeus was living. And Jesus stopped under the tree that Zacchaeus had climbed up to see him. And Jesus spoke to him. And Zacchaeus then, in this encounter with Jesus, had his heart changed. And Zacchaeus, later on in the house where Jesus was, and a few friends as well, Zacchaeus stood up and said, Lord, look, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. That is generous. And he really had cheated people out of lots of things. So here and now, I'm going to give half of my possessions. Half of all that I own, half of all that I have, half of all that I've accumulated. I'm going to give half of all my possessions to the poor. It's all going to go away. And people then, and I know because I've got this list, he would probably be saying, I'm going to give back four times the amount to those people. He was a rich man. And it was halved. And you know what Jesus said? Jesus' assessment of Zacchaeus' heart and action then was this. Today, salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. Zacchaeus was a changed man. And being a changed man, he changed from being a cheat and a Scrooge and stingy to being so generous and giving like God. Christians are generous. Now, I read the other day, December the 11th. I think some of you have these little notes, daily bread or what they might be, Bible reading notes. Says on this, on December the 11th last year, it's all a gift. London's Café Rendezvous has nice lighting, comfortable couches, and the smell of coffee in the air. What it doesn't have are prices. Originally started as a business by a local church, the cafe was transformed a year after it started. The managers felt that God was calling them to do something radical, make everything on the menu free. Today, you can order a coffee, cake, or sandwich without cost. There isn't even a donation jar. It's all a gift. So I asked the manager why they were being so generous. And they replied, "We're just trying to treat people the way God treats us. God gives to us whether we thank him or not. He's generous to us beyond our imaginations." If you want a free coffee, cake, and sandwich, you go to Hope Community Church, Perivale, West London. That's where it's based. What a testimony. We're just trying to treat people the way God treats us. Generous. And Christians are generous. They're generous with their money. So you've got 2 Corinthians chapter 8 open before you. Might have sort of closed shut by now, or your phones might have turned off by now. But 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9 speaks about how Christians are generous with their money. The Apostle Paul is writing to this church at Corinth, and he's talking to them about the offering, the collection. And he says they're to take it up the first day of every week, the Sunday. And then in order to motivate these Corinthian Christians, he gives them the example of another group of Christians from Macedonia. And this is what he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. "Now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people. And they exceeded our expectations. They gave themselves first of all to the Lord, and then by the will of God also to us." So this is what the Macedonian churches did. They gave generously. So then Paul says to the Corinthian church in verse 6, "So we urge Titus, just as he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. But since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, and in complete earnestness, and in the love we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. I'm not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich." How generous Jesus was. And then he goes on to chapter 9 and verse 6. Chapter 9 and verse 6. "Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." Verse 10. "Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply an increase and your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God." Christians are generous in giving money. And we give money into three areas in particular. We mentioned them earlier about the offering. We give money to gospel ministry through the local church. We give money to global mission outside the local church. And we give money to poor, vulnerable, needy people, whether inside or outside the local church. And I've got to say how encouraging it is to be part of a church like this that literally gives thousands, tens of thousands of pounds every year to these three areas. It's a very generous church. But we can always do better, but it really is a very generous church. And I'm not beating us up about this morning. I'm just acknowledging what is and saying, praise God for you people. And keep going in that generosity to gospel ministry, global mission, and the poor, vulnerable, and needy. And God loves a cheerful, generous giver. Literally, tens of thousands of pounds are given. And you'll hear about our budget at our members' meeting. It's not just money that Christians are generous in giving, but also Christians want to be like God in the way they treat other people. So we said that God was generous in the way that he gave creation gifts to people. But also we said that God is generous in the way he shows mercy and grace and love. So if we want to be like God, then we need to be generous in our outlook and attitude towards people as well. And Christians are. Christians forgive other people. Even though somebody might sin against them 77 times a day, and then 77 times come back and say, sorry, I repent, then the Christian forgives them 77 times. That's generous. Christians are generous in the way they treat people graciously, without finding fault. And Christians are generous in the way that they want to show their love, their mercy, and their kindness to all people, no matter who they are, and will be unsparing and lavish in the way that God is. Being with a generous person is like when the sun comes shining through. Being with a mean, stingy person is like being engulfed in a cold front weather system. Christians are generous. Now, God is generous, and Christians are generous for this reason. God is good. This is what makes him generous, the goodness of God. And the goodness of God is undisputed in the Bible. And the scriptures tell us, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And it's his goodness that propels him to be generous in his blessing. A.W. Tozer, in this book, The Knowledge of the Holy, staple diet for Christians, really. This is like, if you haven't read this, you're not going to enjoy Easter, really. chapter 16, The Goodness of God. The goodness of God is that which disposes him to be kind and cordial, benevolent and full of goodwill towards people. God is tender-hearted and of quick sympathy, and his unfailing attitude toward all moral beings is open, frank, and friendly. By his nature, God is inclined to bestow blessedness, and he takes holy pleasure in the happiness of his people. The goodness of God is the drive behind all the blessings he daily bestows upon us. And so it goes on in that chapter. What a thought. God is not mean. God is not meagerly or Scrooge-like or stingy. He's good, and because he's good, he's generous. And it's the same for Christian people. Christians are generous because they are good. The goodness that the Holy Spirit has put into our hearts propels us to do good and to be generous. Jesus said, a good person brings good things out of the good stored up within them. And those good things of generosity and grace, love, mercy, forgiveness, and giving come from the heart of a Christian man or woman. And if God is at work in our lives, he will be producing that good fruit of generosity. Christians are good people. Christians are generous people. But I know what some of you are thinking. Well, what about a Christian who's not generous in grace, mercy, love, and giving? What about that? What about that indeed? Well, I would say such a person is a practical atheist. They may be a churchgoer, may even be a church member. And they may accept God's existence, and they may say that they believe in Jesus and call upon him when they're in need. But that belief makes absolutely no difference to their lives now. No, they behave in a mean, unkind, ungracious, give little, and continually are fault-finding with people. Jesus said, by their fruits you will know them. So make your own assessment. We will never be truly generous until God has touched our hearts and changed them into good hearts. And once they're good hearts, they just want to give. And there is something within, something inside the heart of a Christian, something within the soul of a Christian that just wants to bless people as much as they possibly can. A Christian wants to give. Their heart is spilling over with love. Their feelings are pouring out in mercy. Their attitude is guided by grace, and their works are propelled by generosity. Now, I know it's true there are some people that it's easier to be generous towards than others. And there are some people it is easier to show grace towards than others, and mercy and love than others. But our Master was so generous to all people. In his outlook and his giving, it made no difference. All kinds of different people benefited from his generosity. So when Jesus fed the 5,000 people, I bet that amongst that crowd there were some nasty, selfish, jealous, immoral, abusive people. Yet Jesus fed them all more than enough. When Judas Iscariot betrayed Jesus with a kiss, Jesus said to him, "Friend, do what you came for." And Judas turned out to be Jesus' greatest enemy. And yet Jesus still said to him, "Friend." His outlook was so generous, so gracious, so kind. The orientation of a person whose heart has been touched by the Lord and whose mind is being transformed to be like Jesus is that they just want to do good. It's just within them by the power of the Holy Spirit. And they want to do good to all people. No matter what religion, no matter what color, no matter what belief system, no matter what value system, no matter what chosen lifestyle or crazy situation they are in, the Christian just wants to do good to them. But especially they want to do good to the family of believers, their brothers and sisters in Christ. Because God is good, he makes Christians good. Because God is generous, Christians are generous. And we want to do good and be generous for three reasons. One, because God has worked in our hearts by his Holy Spirit. And if God has touched your heart, you'll never be the same again. Two, we want to do good and be generous because we've received so much blessing from the Lord. A lavish amount of grace. You think how much grace God has given you. How much love he has shown you. Such love. And you think how much mercy God has shown you. And that gives us some kind of inner drive that compels us that because we've received grace, we want to give grace. Because we've received mercy, we want to give mercy. Because we've been forgiven, we want to forgive. And because we've had so much love showered upon us, we then want to shower that love on other people. So we want to be good and to be generous because God's worked in our lives, because we've received so much. And thirdly and finally, because we want to be like God, godly, who is generous. And when we are being generous in our outlook and attitudes and actions and finances, then we are actually participating in the divine nature, and we are being like God with flesh on, generous in blessing others, just like Jesus. Praise God that he is so good and so generous. What an amazing God we have. And may generosity continue to be one of the important things that's at the heartbeat of Hook Evangelical Church. Amen.